This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And today I am talking to Scott Brinker, who is the co-founder of Ion Interactive, that's marketing software, and blogger at Chief Marketing Technologist, that's chiefmartech.com. Hello Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thanks Andy.
I wanted to talk today about a very interesting post that you did recently, debunking the three myths of agile marketing. Why is agile marketing coming into play?
That's a great question. Well, I think what we're seeing here is an acceleration of the clock speed at which marketing operates. Marketing for many, many years had a certain rhythm it operated on that largely revolved around the yearly marketing plan. You know, so in the last quarter of the year, everyone would do their research, they would map out their campaigns, their programs, their budgets, all this for then the next 12 months. And then from that point, let things run, and at the end of the year, go back and be able to measure what happened. But of course, at internet speed, the world just moves much faster than that. And marketers have increasingly found the need to be able to react to opportunities or problems or issues, competitive threats that can happen in the digital space, you know, literally over a matter of a few weeks. And so I think as marketers have started to wrestle with, okay, well, how do we – we're so used to managing ourselves on this like long-term cycle of a yearly marketing plan. How can we start to manage ourselves in a way that's going to be more responsive? I think you saw a number of marketers who happen to be working in high-tech companies where the development groups were using Agile for software development, and the light bulb went off and they said, hey, well, I mean, you're doing these like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 week sprints, you know, adjusting, reacting. Maybe we could use something like that in the marketing department.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely love this comparison with Agile because I know some of our listeners know when I wear my other hat, I'm a dev. So this whole idea of kind of very short cycles so that you can adapt quite quickly being brought over to marketing is really interesting. Is this a new idea? I mean, how did it come about?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly, Agile itself has been around here for quite some time in the development community. A number of different approaches really got going there in the 90s. And I think we saw, you know, in the 2000s, Agile development really got significant momentum behind it. And I think what's interesting is, I mean, marketing isn't the same as development per se, but there are certain parallels. This idea of having deliverables, in the case of marketing, you might not be delivering software, but you are delivering things like content. You might be delivering actually things that are a little bit like software when you think about delivering websites or landing pages or microsites, you know, and instead of trying to like do this all in one big push, cross your fingers and hope it all works, you know, to be able to say, hey, can we break this down into smaller chunks? Let's do a chunk. See what the market reaction to it is, see how it performs, and then from there, tweak what we do for the next chunk.
Would you say that this is quite a sort of highly embraced approach, Scott, or are there still people out there doing the equivalent of the waterfall technique, but for marketing. And I'll explain what waterfall means if anyone doesn't know a bit later.
Yes. Yeah, I think, I mean, most marketers are still probably wrestling with the waterfall approach, you know, this thing of really driving their programs from a long-term yearly marketing plan. I'd say agile marketing for a few years, you know, there were some pioneers who started doing this and writing about it in 2008 and 2009. There were just a handful, and then a few more. And I'd say this year, 2013, I was at a number of conferences where at least 20-25% of the marketers I interacted with either were practicing some form of what was called agile marketing or were at least talking about it and considering it. So my suspicion is actually here this next year or two, we're going to see quite an explosion of marketing teams looking to adopt these agile methods.
Do you think there is actually some sort of intersection between marketing and the tech community? Seems like a strange combination.
It is. I think it's fascinating how essentially the digital world has caused these two communities to collide. I mean, when you think about what marketing is doing, operating in a digital environment, pretty much everything that marketing is touching there is either controlled by or influenced by or created through software. And so marketing has become just much more dependent on leveraging technical talent, whether it's, you know, the people who are producing this software. Marketing has much tighter relationships with software vendors these days, or even people in the marketing department who are using this software. But they've developed some technical skills to be able to be really good at, you know, configuring software or extending it or writing a little script to, you know, change how something behaves. So I think what you're starting to see here is actually marketing teams on the whole getting more technical.
Yeah.
And one of the things I find fascinating is I also think that's happening in the other direction, that, you know, if you look at the development community, the stereotypes of, you know, developers, you know, not being great communicators or things like that from, you know, years ago. I mean, clearly that is a myth that has been busted when you look at these open source projects that have just, you know, an incredible presence on the web, you know, really good communications around blogs, promotion, you know, sort of the social connections between these participants, that engineers seem to be becoming a lot more like pretty good marketers in their own projects as well.
Yes, I think gone are the days of the sort of pale-skinned geek sitting in a darkened room or a cave. So we're all marketers to a certain degree. That's a really interesting intersection, actually. We hear a lot about data-driven marketing. Can we get a definition of what that would be?
Well, it's one of those things that if you ask 10 people, you might get 10 slightly different definitions.
Yeah.
But the core of it is it goes back to this fact that just so much of marketing is either being executed through digital channels or certainly being influenced by digital channels. And pretty much everything that's happening in that digital domain generates data, generates tons of data. And we're seeing, you know, this explosion, you know, in data storage that's tied to the marketing department. So all sorts of user behaviors of how people are interacting with us on our websites, how people are interacting us through all these social communities.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you know, data-driven marketing, I think there's sort of a motivation and then there's a process. And the motivation is clear to say, okay, now that we've got all this data, can we find a way to both A, do a better job of interacting with our customers and our prospects, but also now that we have this data to be able to show, okay, when are people responding to particular marketing initiatives in the digital space, can we, you know, track that and attribute it and start to get some sense of ROI, return on investment, for, okay, which marketing efforts, which marketing programs are really working. And so data-driven marketing is saying both from a customer perspective and from an internal management perspective, instead of running marketing on, you know, our gut, can we actually use data to make sure that we're doing the right things for the right people?
Yeah, so we come back to this comparison again with dev, don't we? Because as a dev, it is very, very interesting. We have this thing called test-driven development, where you kind of you define how it's supposed to behave, or behavior-driven development is actually a more modern term for it. And that seems to be carrying over into marketing. So in dev, we sort of define how something should behave. We start to code it. We see the tests fail. And we go through this very rapid cycle of tweaking the code and tweaking the tests until the code behaves exactly, you know, as it's supposed to. And I find it a fascinating... I think me and you should coin a new phrase now, Scott. Test-driven marketing. What do you reckon?
Yes, I think that would catch on. I mean, in all seriousness... You know, that is, I think, the biggest advantage of this agile cycle in marketing and the, you know, data-driven evidence of, you know, what's working or what's not, is it's really changing how marketing can approach its mission. It used to be that in marketing, you know, you kind of had to make a big bet, like, all right, what's my gut for, you know, this big campaign we should do? And you took a big risk with that. I mean, luckily, it was often hard to measure how it performed. So maybe people didn't necessarily know how well it worked or not. Yeah. But I think now that we're in this environment where if we're using Agile to, you know, move a little bit more quickly to be able to, you know, instead of doing these big bang projects, start with, you know, smaller iterations and say, well, let's try this. Let's try a, you know, a small version of this as an experiment. Take a look at the data to see if it worked or not. If it does, great. Then by all means, we can scale that up with a lot more confidence of what the outcome is going to be. On the other hand, if it doesn't work, because it was just a small experiment, we didn't actually risk that much. And now we can say, well, all right, let's try a different variation of this, or maybe even a significantly different variation of this. Does this work better? Aha, okay, this is working. You know, let's scale this up. This ability to experiment with relatively low risk and relatively high payoff really is a very new way for marketing to operate at scale.
So short cycles, fail quickly, succeed quickly, measure and tweak. We've got a lot of small and medium businesses that listen to the show, Scott. What would be your top advice for them? How can they leverage the things, you know, the sort of approaches we've talked about here?
I'm certain that some of them are already doing this, that in many ways the digital world so favors small businesses, because there's so much technology out there that allows a small business for, you know, a relatively small investment. If they're smart about leveraging this technology, they can actually have a much larger footprint. I mean, a small business can be, you know, ranked number one in, you know, Google search listings. It can have, you know, incredible following on these social networks. It can have a website that is incredibly impressive. And when you look at, yeah, small businesses basically being able to leverage this technology as a force multiplier, combined with the fact that, right, small businesses are probably, it's easier for them in many ways to adopt this agile approach because they're almost inherently more agile just as a function of their size. And so if you get that combination of being able to, you know, act and react quickly and use the technology to essentially present yourself to the world in a way that's, you know, as equally sophisticated as competitors 10 times your size, it's an incredible advantage for people who can just decide to embrace that.
Well, Scott, that's really useful. Thanks so much for joining us. How can people get hold of you if they want to interact with you?
Well, I guess on Twitter, my handle is Chief Martech, C-H-I-E-F-M-A-R-T-E-C. And that is also the URL for my blog, chiefmartech.com. So, yeah, would love to hear from you.
Scott Brinker, co-founder of Ion Interactive and blogger at Chief Marketing Technologist. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Andy.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273
02256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.